Okay, so today is Tznas Hashana, Sefer Yirmiyahu. So I don't know how it's normally done. I mean, I kind of know, but this is how I'm going to do it. I have a source packet of just psukim from a couple selected parakim throughout Yirmiyahu, and the idea is to read the psukim together, learn them together, and through them hopefully learn about who Yirmiyahu was, what he was trying to achieve, what he achieved, what he didn't achieve, and really why he chose to choose the nevuahs he gave, why he chose to give those, why Hashem decided those were what were appropriate for Klal Yisrael. And then the biggest question I want to answer is, why did the people not listen to Yirmiyahu? Yirmiyahu is the prophet of doom. He's the one who prophesied against the Jewish people. He told them that if you don't repent, the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. And they didn't listen to him, as we all know right now. Why didn't they listen to him?
Because he was a prophet of doom.
So we're going to get to that. So what we have to do right now is put ourselves in the minds of, you know, of 1655 BC, the Jews of that era. Know that just like in Tanakh, there's no word for a Navi Sheker, a false prophet. We always call him a Navi, which makes it very confusing. And therefore, it's probably confusing to the people then. If there's no word for Navi Sheker, that's a rabbinic term. Everyone's called a Navi, so you have some people saying, don't worry, the Beis HaMikdash will be fine. And Yirmiyahu is saying, worry, who do you listen to? And the people clearly didn't listen to Yirmiyahu. Why not? So that's the main question I want to answer. And through answering that question, I hope to also learn about a little bit about Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu is the prophet who talks a lot about the sheker that happened then. The word sheker shows up about 140 times in Tanakh, I think. I don't remember the exact number. 37 of those times are in Yirmiyahu. He's telling the people, repent, repent, repent. He wrote Yirmiyahu. He also wrote Eicha, Megillas Eicha, which I wanted to talk about, but I realized then I'd steal Megillas Eicha in a couple weeks. And he also wrote Ekinah, which we're going to discuss. So let's open up to chapter 26. First, open up first page. I'm back of the cover page. Chapter 26. Bereishis Malchus Yoyakim. I'm sorry there's no psukim that got lost in the copy-paste from Sepharia. Top of the line on the top right column. Bereishis Malchus Yoyakim ben Yoshio Melch Yudah Hayadavar Hazem Me'es Hashem Lemar. In the beginning of the reign of Yoyakim, the son of Yoshiyahu, Hashem comes to Yirmiyahu. So right away, what do we know? Right away, we see the word Yoshiyahu, Yoyakim. We know, for one, we know this is later in Yirmiyahu's life. This is not, he's not the first time he's getting Nevuah. Because who is Yoshiyahu? So Yoshiyahu may be familiar to us from Tisha B'Av. I brought in my kinos. I've been walking around with this the last week, so I'm very depressed. I also have not eaten for a week. I did, don't worry. I ate. Thank you. You know, every time I gain weight, I go to my bubby, she's like, you lost weight. And anytime I work hard to lose weight, she's like, you gained a little weight. It's always a losing situation. So, what's the story with Yoshiyahu? There was King Menashe. King Menashe was one of the kings in Israel. He was an evil king. The Gemara says, however, at the end of his life, he repented, he did tshuva. His son Amnon, however, did not do tshuva. When he gave over, when he passed away, and his son Yoshiyahu took over, they said there was only one Sefer Torah left in all of Judea. There was only one Sefer Torah left in Israel. That's where the Jewish people are at. Having gone through a Menashe, even though he did do tshuva, but the Avodah Zarah and the idolatry, the adultery, Klal Yisrael was in a very bad place. And the story goes, again, part of the story is a piece together because part of it's in Yirmiyahu, part of it is in Divrei Hayamim, but most of it actually comes out of the kinnah, a kinnah which we will see in a minute, which Rabbi Soloveitchik said is the oldest kinnah we have because this kinnah was written by none other than Yirmiyahu. He finds the Sefer Torah in the Beis Hamikdash, and it's open to the Tochacha. It's open to the part of the Torah which tells the Jewish people, if you don't repent, I am going to destroy you. And he starts the biggest Baal Tshuva movement in history. He gets rid of all the idols. He cleans up the temple. He gets rid of all the people who didn't believe. And once again, Klal Yisrael now had many Sefer Torah and was back on a high level, or so he thought. There's a knock on the door one day. A messenger from Paru Necho. Paru Necho was from Egypt, Paru. He said, I want to pass through the Via Maris. The Via Maris is the central trading route that runs from southern Israel to northern Israel. The reason why Israel has always been a contentious place, especially starting in ancient times, was because it was the connecting point between Egypt or Africa and Europe. So,
Europe.
Not Europe, through, well, through the whole world through there, but through Asia, then all the way to Europe as time went on, but really to Asia. So Paru Necho says, I want to, knocks on the door and says, I want to pass through your land, I want to wage war with the Assyrians. It's analogous, I guess, to the knock on the White House door and the Mexican president saying, I want to, you know, go take, use I-90 and run from Mexico to wage war with the Canadians. Are there any Canadians here? Then I can, half. So I can still say this joke. Did you hear what happened to the Canadian Army? He got sick. So, what would Donald Trump say? Well, let's use a different president. What would any president say when someone says, I want to, you know, have, you know, tanks and machine guns? Just go on right up I-90. We're not going to harm you. We're not going to touch you. Just let us go through. And if you don't, we're going to attack you. So they come to Paru Necho. They say, Paru Necho, we want to pass through your land and use the Via Maris. Sorry, they come to Yoshio. And Yoshio says, the Pasuk says, Lo Savar Cheref. When the Jews are good, when we're keeping Torah and Mitzvos, Hashem says, a bracha, a sword will not pass through your land, even a sword shall shalom. A cheref shall shalom, meaning, says Yoshio, even though he doesn't want to wage war with us, he wants to wage war with the Assyrians, a sword shall not pass through our land. And so he says, I'm not going to let him through. Yirmiyahu shows up and says, Yoshio, things aren't as good as you think they are. The Jewish people are not where you think they are. In fact, Yoshio used to send messengers to all the Jewish houses to look for idols. And what the Jews did is they would take an idol, they cut the idol in half, put one on one side of the door, put one on the other side of the door. The messengers would walk in, the door would open up, they wouldn't see the idol. The messengers would leave and the idol would come together. You can't transform a people overnight. He thought he had. He didn't listen to Yirmiyahu. He goes to battle with Paro and says, you're not passing through this land. And the tragedy is the great reformer ends up getting shot by arrows. He's laying on the floor, and Yirmiyahu comes up to him. And his last dying breath, as he's pierced with, the Yekino says, hundreds of arrows, his last dying breath is, Tzadik hu Hashem ki merasif bihu. Hashem is the righteous one. I have rebelled. That's Yoshiyahu. So that's, when we open up our pasuk here with the beginning of Yehoyakim, the son of Yoshiyahu, we know we're at the latter half of Yirmiyahu's life. We also realize Yirmiyahu has not been listened to for a long time. It's been a long time. It wasn't good being a Navi. Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. Back to our source sheets. Ko'amar Hashem, Amma b'chotzer Beis Hashem, v'idabartas al kol ara Yehuda habam l'shtachavos Beis Hashem, es kol dvar asher tzivisol davar lechem al tigra davar. He says, go to the temple. Think about this. Go to the, everyone's bringing their karbonos, they're going up there, the, you know, their chatas, their ashams, all the different karbonos, they're going to Davos Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash up to the Kotel Plaza, and you're sitting there at the Kotel Plaza next to the woman collecting money. He says, go stand there. And say the following. This would be equivalent to someone standing outside the stock exchange on a big box and screaming, you know, don't invest, don't invest. What do you think people are going to think of this guy? Hashem says to them, stand in front of the Beis HaMikdash. And everyone's coming up being all, feeling all religious. And he says, and when you do that, Uli Yishma B'Yoshvi Ish Midarko Harav and the Mechamti Al Harav Asher Anochi Choshev Lasas Lam Yifnei Harav Me'al Lehem. And perhaps, if you scream loud enough and you say the right things, people might listen to you and they will repent. And whatever I'm about to say, destruction of the temple, will not happen. So he's giving them almost like Yonah at Ninveh. He's giving them time to repent. Ve'amarte Alechem, and say to them, Ko Amar Hashem, Im Lo Tishmu'u Eli, Leleches B'Torasi Asher Nasati Lefnechem, if you don't listen to me, if you don't follow the ways of the Torah, L'Shmo'el Divrei Avodai HaNevim Asher Anochi Sholech Alechem Ve'Eshkim Ve'Sholech Lo'Shmatem. Think of this, Yirmiyahu standing on the ghost, and if you don't listen to me, the man appointed by God. Sorry, let me just turn this off, I'm sorry. Okay, we're good. V'Nasati Es habayis hazeh kishilo. Es ha'ir hazos etin leklolo lechol goy haaretz. If you don't listen to me, I will turn this house into Shiloh, like I did to Shiloh, and make the city like a curse of the world. Yirmiyahu gets up. He said, Yirmiyahu, Hashem said, Yirmiyahu, go there, stand on your soapbox, and say, if you don't repent, I will make this like Shiloh. What was Shiloh? The first Mikdash. The Mishkan, when we finished the Mishkan in the wilderness, we got to Israel, it traveled around a little, and then for 369 years, it went to Shiloh, we erected it there permanently, and it was destroyed in Shiloh. Where does it say it was destroyed in Shiloh? Nowhere in Tanakh. This is the reference. In Yirmiyahu here, Chavav, and in chapter Zion, in Parak Zion as well, we'll see in a minute. So we don't know, we know from here it was destroyed. God says, if you don't listen to me, I will make this Beis HaMikdash like Shiloh, I will destroy it. Now what do all the people say? The Kohanim, the people who are gathering there, they listen, they hear him saying this. And what do they say? All the Kohanim and the people there hear Yirmiyahu and they say, this man shall die. He shall die. Madua. No, how dare he? The audacity. This guy gets up there and says, the house of Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash, the house that Shlomo HaMelech built, where Hashem said he'll rest his presence there, and this guy's saying, Hashem's going to destroy it? This guy's crazy. The chutzpah, the audacity to get up there and say, God will destroy his house. God will never destroy his house. Why would they listen to Yirmiyahu? Because they look at him, he's just, who are you? That's a chil, making a chil Hashem. You're saying God will destroy his house. And ironically, I think we see precedent for this nowadays, perhaps. Unfortunately, people say it can't happen. God won't let it happen. Gush Katif 2005. Huge debate raged in the Knesset and among the chief rabbinic. What do you do with the shuls? You have all these bate knessios. What do you do with them? One camp said, if you don't touch them, the Arabs, the Palestinians will take them and destroy them in a tremendous chil shem shemayim. So find a way to respectfully destroy them. And the other camp said, how can we destroy our shul? And then there was a voice that came and said, don't destroy them because it's not going to happen. God won't let it happen. So you have to run the danger of turning an ideology into idolatry. And that's what Yirmiyahu is saying. He said, you run the danger of turning the house of Hashem, God will never do it. Don't be so sure of yourself. Don't be so sure of yourself. Nothing is certain in life. Time to repent. And they said, this guy, we have to kill him. He's a false prophet. How dare he say that? And I cut it off here. If we have time, we'll get back to what eventually ended up happening. What was God's response to this? How can you destroy God? How would God destroy his own house? God built this house. God commanded it to be built. This was the beacon of light to the entire world. We know the Beis HaMikdash, the light, the windows open outward, so the light shone outside instead of inside, because that was the mission to Beis HaMikdash. What was God's response to this? You go back to chapter 7, chapter Perek Zion. This is what Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, and it's frightening and terrifying, and this is, I think, the linchpin to all of Sefer Yirmiyahu. Hadover Asher Hayel, Yirmiyahu Meis Hashem Lemar. You have another page, right after chapter 7, the first page. The word came to Yirmiyahu from Hashem. Again, Omad Bishar Beis Hashem. Stand in front of the Beis HaMikdash. The Karosa, Shame, Shom, Tadover, Azev, Amarti, Shimu, Devar, Hashem, Kol Yehuda, Abba, Misharma, Elo, Ustach, Mot, Hashem. Very same Lashon, same language. Stand by the Beis HaMikdash and say the following. Turn the page. Kol Amar Hashem. Sivos, Elekei Yisrael, Ativu, Dar, Chechem, El, Umeal, Aleichem, Vashkena, Tzlemi, Makam, Azev. Mend your ways so that I can dwell here once again. Mend your ways. The ways you're acting, I am not here. Al tiftechu lachem as al divrei hasheker lemer heichal Hashem heima. Don't delude yourself. Don't fool yourself and say this is the house of God. This is the house of God. This is the house of God. Don't you're deluding yourself. It's an illusion. You think this is the house of God? Until you're willing to mend your ways and have justice between man and man. Ger yosem v'almona lo tez'ashku v'dam nokia al tishbechu v'mokam azev v'achre lo kim acherim lo te'lechu l'ra alechem. Until you take care of the orphan, the stranger, the widow, you don't shed blood unwillingly, you don't follow other gods, until then, I won't be in that house. The Rambam writes, by Hilchos Chanukah, as well as Hilchos Yom Tov. We have the concept of Simchas Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, you have to be happy. Simech, you eat meat, you drink wine. The Rambam writes, if you go into your house, you close your doors, you set a beautiful table, and you're there with your family, you're eating meat and drinking wine and saying Divrei Torah and singing Zmiros, and you forget about the Yosem, the Almana, you forget about the orphan, you forget about the Almana, the widow, that's not Simchas Yom Tov. That's Simchas Molei Kreso. You're satiating your belly. And that's what he's saying. If you don't care about this part of society, the people who need help, I'm not going to be in that house. Don't tell me you're all frum. This is the house of Hashem. I'm davening. I'm giving money to it. I have karbanos. I'm not there. He says, Hine. Skip down one pasuk. Hine atem bochem lechem al divrei hasheker levilti lehoel. The last pasuk on the right column. You're relying on illusions. I am not there. Haganav rotseach v'noach v'eshbiel v'sheker v'kitzu lebal v'holech achar l'kim acherim asher lidatem. You can't steal, murder, commit adultery, and swear falsely, and sacrifice to the Baal, the pagan god, I believe, of the sun, I believe, and say that you are a firm person because you have a Beis HaMikdash. And then walk into, you do all these things, and you walk into the house of God, Asher Nikri Shemi Alav, that my name is called the house of God. I'm fine! I gave money to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm there, I'm davening, I'm bringing karbanas. I'm fine. Act one way outside, you can't do that. Moreover, I think he's coming with a stronger point. You say the Beis HaMikdash will save me. On Yom Kippur, we have the Kohen Gadol brings multiple karbanas, but he has the famous two goats. One, the Rapha, one goes La'ashem, and one goes La'azazel. They cast it off the cliff, and the Mishnah tells us, if Klal Yisrael collectively merits to be forgiven, there's a piece of string that turns from red to white. So they say, don't worry, we have karbanos. I'll bring a karban chatos, I'll be forgiven. I'll stand collectively with Klal Yisrael, we'll be forgiven, we'll throw it off La'azazel, I'm fine, don't worry about me. I can act one way. The Rambam writes that if someone goes and says, don't worry about me, I have the Azazel. That's not how it works, he says. How are you forgiven? If you do tshuva. The Azazel only works once you do tshuva. But until you do tshuva, it's not going to help you. So God's saying, your Mio is saying, like, you come to my house, you act like this terrible person, and you think you're going to be saved? It's not like that. That's not how things work. Hamare pritzim ha'yo ha'bayis ha'zashen nikra shmi'olav v'nechen gam anochi ne'rozi no mashem. God said, you consider the house which bears my name to be a den of thieves? Think of the chutzpah and the chil Hashem. He says, you're calling this my house? You think I'm really here? What? He says, I'm not here. I'm not in this house. It's sticks and stones. What gives it kedusha? What makes it the Beis HaMikdash? It's when you act appropriately, and then I rest my shechina, my presence there. So when the people said, God, no, God would never destroy his house, Yirmiyahu is saying, you got it all wrong. The only reason why it's God's house is because you let him in there. And if you don't let him in there, he's not coming. And the way you let him in there is by keeping Torah and mitzvos. And some people, by the way, you look at the quote and be ethical, but it's more than being ethical. It's also not following false gods. It's keeping Torah and mitzvos. And then God says, again, this is actually the first time in Tanakh we learn about what we said before, that the Mishkan was destroyed. Lichu nal mekomi asher b'Shiloh. Go to Shiloh. You think I'm not serious? Go to Shiloh. See what I did there. I destroyed Shiloh. It was my house as well. I destroyed it because ultimately, it just sticks in stones if you don't act and bring my presence into this world. And it gets a little scary. God says, I spoke these words already, and you persistently did not listen to me. I am now going to do this. I am going to carry out this prophecy. Almost like God saying, like, it's almost over. Like, you missed the boat here on Tshuva. Turn the page. And he says, I'll destroy you from the face of the earth. Now that was Yirmiyahu's prophecy. Now there's God addresses Yirmiyahu in a frightening, frightening pasuk. He says, Yirmiyahu, see the second pasuk on page number 3, right column, second verse. Va'ata, and you, Yirmiyahu, al tespal. Don't daven. Va'ata amazet. Don't daven for this people anymore. Va'tisa ba'adom. Don't cry for them. Rina utzvila. Don't cry utzvila. Va'tikfu bi ki eneni shomayascha. Don't plead with me. I am not going to listen to you. It's over. It's so over, Yirmiyahu. I don't want to hear your prayers. You think it was easy being a Navi? Yirmiyahu cared about the Jewish people. So much so we read in Eicha. He says, Ani agever shara ani. Like, I'm mamish. I didn't want this happening. I'm like, I am a destroyed person. I am the person who saw the affliction. And God says to him, I'm sorry this is so depressing today. But God says to him, I don't want to hear you anymore. It's over. And someone pointed out, I saw one of the commentators pointed out that Yirmiyahu stops davening, and the next time he davens is in Eicha, when it's over already. When he realizes, you know what, now I can daven again. Now I can say, Shivchi kamayim libech nochat b'nei Hashem. I can pour my heart out to Hashem. I can say, you know, tzadik Hashem, he said, chasi Hashem kilu samnu. At the end of the day, the ways of God are mysterious, but Hashem works with chesed. But until then, he's silent at this point. He's just listening to God and saying what God wants. He's no longer davening. And think of the pain he went through. And the psukim describe how he goes away from Yerushalayim one night. He says, maybe it'll be fine. He wakes up in the morning, he sees the smoke rising, and he realizes, like, his worst dream came true. His worst dream came true. And he didn't himself almost like felt like he didn't believe it was going to happen. Al tespal ba'ad ha'amazet. Don't daven. And it's just like, it's frightening. Because God says to him, if you think it's just one person, two people, look what's happening in the streets of Yerushalayim. Habonim elaktim etzim. Anyone been to Eretz Yisrael, Israel? Anyone here Israeli? Been to Israel around Lag BaOmer time?
Oh, yeah.
The little kids running through the streets, collecting all the wood. You leave out, like, I don't know, you're building something, you leave a door out, the next day it's gone, you see it's up in flames. You gotta be careful there. Actually, the biggest miracle of Israel's existence is that on Lag BaOmer, the place just burn up. Every 3 feet, there's another Amadura, 150 feet high. If you had it here, you'd get fines galore from the village of Skokie or the city of Chicago. So he says, he uses imagery. The children are gathering sticks, the fathers build the fire, and the mothers knead the dough. Everyone's involved collectively in rebelling against me. So don't daven for me. It's over for them. Last line on column 2, Hayut Hamim Machisim Nuam Hashem Alotim Laman Boshes Paneihem. And God says something again. He says, and it's not even about me. It's not about me. You think I'm bothered by this? I'm God. I created the world. I don't need this. It's you. You're the ones who are failing. You need me more than I need you. And you're hurting yourself when you act this way. Lachain, ko amar Hashem, Elokim, hini afi v'chamosi nichrach el hamokam hazeh, el adam el behem vel eitz asodeh vel tzpnei adam el baratik vel tichpeh. I am going to destroy everything. Ko amar Hashem tzivos, lakei Yisrael, alaseichem sifu al zibichechem v'ochlu basar. You think you can just bring a carbon again? You bring a carbon, it's all good. I don't want your meat. Your karbonos are just meat to me. It's meaningless if we don't, in the words of the Ramban, we bring karbonos because when I do the smicha and I see this karbon being shechted, I say that should have been me. I did such an avera, it should have been me, and God in his mercy said, shecht an animal, but the imagery is supposed to shake me. And I realize how what I did was wrong and how severe doing avera is. Because you're not doing that, you're just bringing karbonos because, oh, I give $100 to the shul. I give $1,000. You think that's helpful? The money you got illicitly, you can purify it by giving it to the base of Migdash, buy a carbon. That's not how things work, says God. And then God says, and it's not this generation. You think it's just Yirmiyahu's generation? This has been going on since we left Egypt. Think about last week's Parsha B'Shalach. We leave Egypt, and the first thing we do is complain, which is a source. Why Jews complain about everything? You can go to $100,000 Simcha, and there people find something to complain about. But he said, it's God's most collective anger, like cumulative anger. The Jewish people have always been complaining to me. I'm done with them. And we'll see, by the way, As depressing as Yirmiyahu is, he comes around at the end. He's also the one who talks about Kol Barama Nishma. He's the one who does that comes from Yirmiyahu. A voice is from Rama. Rachel crying over his children. Hashem listening to Rachel. So as depressing as it is, it comes around at the end. And we're going to see that in a second. If we skip, again, he's reiterating this point over and over again. Listen to me. Turn over the page to the last pasuk before chapter 24. I cut out a bunch. And we see there's a parallel here. We'll see in a second. V'shvita me'ar Yehuda mechutz Yishalayim. I will silence the Ar Yehuda, the mountains of Yehuda, mechutz in the streets of Yishalayim. Kol sasdan v'kol simcha, kol chosin v'kol kala, ki l'chorban tiyeh haaretz. I will silence Ar Yehuda mechutz Yishalayim. The sound, we know this from the other way around, the sound of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the bride, for the land will fall to ruin. But let's also remember, ultimately it's also Yirmiyahu who tells us, Od Yisham of Ar Yehuda v'chutzos Yerushalayim, Kol Sosim, Kol Simcha, Kol Chosim, Kol Kala. So he comes around at the end. In the end, he prophesies. At the end of Yirmiyahu, I was going to say this at the end of this year, but I'm getting so depressed, I want to say it now. The latter half of Yirmiyahu, he's talking about Hashem is going to pour out his wrath on all the nations of the world who oppressed us. He goes through each one, Edom, and it goes through Moab, and it goes through the Egyptians and the Syrians, because God, at the end of the day, which is in 2 weeks' time from now, Hosea, you'll hear from the community scholar, God does not divorce his people. We're always God's children. We are engaged to God. We're married to God. So God doesn't get rid of us. So just know that. But at this point in history, when he's given this Musar, he's saying, the streets will be silent. So that's one. Why did these people listen to Yirmiyahu? They didn't listen to him because they said, God's not going to abandon us. He's not going to abandon the house. And God responds, you got it all backwards. It's not about the image. It's not about externalities. It's about who we are as people. Are we living lives of people, of children of God, of the Melechus Kohanim? How are we acting? Do we actually care about the Ger, the Yasim, or the Amana? Or are we taking the money we get illicitly and throwing it over to, you know, the fund for them because that's what you got to do? It's about doing things because you're doing the right thing. That's taina number one. Taina number two. The ten tribes are expelled from Israel, but also there was another expulsion where many, many Jews get sent to Babel. So at the same time when Yirmiyahu is prophesying in Israel, his prophecies of doom, Yechezkel is in Babel prophesying to those people. Rabbi Mark Angel, yeah, sorry.
Isn't that one of the reasons why the people of Shalim said, oh, Hashem's never going
to
let this
go? So that's exactly the point we're about to make. Perfect. Rabbi Chaim Angel, excuse me, Rabbi Mark Angel's son. He says, there was a certain mistake happening, a certain theology. You have part of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, part in Chutz La'aretz, and they said exactly, what's your name?
Jesse Eisenberg's
point. The people in Babel were like, we've been expelled, we've been sent away from our land, God doesn't want us anymore. We've been divorced, we're done. The people in Eretz Yisrael were like, God didn't kick us out. We're doing the right thing. That's a clear sign from God. We're good. We don't have to change. Look, we're not the people from Babel. It's sort of cheap theology of like, we can interpret God's events. Clearly the fact that they were sent away means that they did something wrong and we did something right. And Yirmiyahu is told by God it's the exact opposite. But this, in fact, God is always with us and he was planning for the Korban and also planning for the redemption. The reason they went to Babel was because that's where the future would be until we went back 70 years later. Whenever something terrible happens to Klal Yisrael, if you look throughout history, you can often find somewhere in there, there's the beginning of the redemption. Think about 1945, the worst tragedy ever, but somewhere in there, there was some redemption. Not the redemption, the reason for it, Chas V'Shalom, I would never say that, but God still says, you're my people, I'm going to give you your own homeland now. There's some sort of nechama there. So, God has this, comes to Yirmiyahu, chapter 24, and he says to him, take, there are two baskets of figs. And because of time, what time do we end?
Whenever you want to.
Whenever I want to. So we'll go a couple minutes more. God comes to Yirmiyahu, and he says, take two baskets of figs. We're not going to read inside because of time. One basket, he says, what do you see in the basket? So one basket of figs, they're wormy, they're moldy, They're disgusting. It's kind of like when you come home from Jewel and you pick up your tomatoes and you look at the bottom one. It's like somehow you missed it and it's gross. That's what they look like. And the other one are beautiful, ripe figs. He says, what do you see? He says, I see these things. What does it mean? And God says, the moldy figs, the disgusting figs, those are the people of Israel, of Judea. The ripe figs, those are the people in Babel. This theology is warped. It's wrong. The reason they're in Babel, he says, is because then Yirmiyahu tells them, plant, you know, raise a family, it's time to move on. That's the future for now. Don't. So there's this cheap theology. Or the people say, Yirmiyahu, you're wrong. Look at history. We can interpret history. And you still see that again. People do it all the time. Oh, why did God do X, Y, or Z? Because he was trying to, you know, to tell us, no, A, B, C. Don't do that. We don't know the ways of God. The ways of God are mysterious. Yirmiyahu, tell the people. The people are saying, Yirmiyahu, no, we're good. And Yirmiyahu's like, you got it all wrong. Another reason why the people wouldn't listen to Yirmiyahu. So that's chapter 24, chapter Chav Dalet. Turn the page. Where should we just go? So, chapter 27, we'll try to stay outside so I can finish in the next couple minutes. Chapter 27, what happens? There is the land in Assyria becomes all powerful. Sorry, Babel, the Babylonians take over Assyria, that area. They're becoming all powerful. They're the mightiest empire. The people, the citizens of the world, the other nations of the world, they're wondering, what do we do? What should we do about this? We can either rebel, or we can fight them to try to break their monopoly on the world, or we can pay taxes, be subservient to them. So there's a Knesset, there's a conference that's called in Yerushalayim with King, who was it? It was Tzidkiyahu. And all the nations of the world, the king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of the Moab, the Tsur, Sidon, they all gather there to discuss, what should we do? Should we rebel or pay taxes? God says to Yirmiyahu, walk in there and tell them, you better pay taxes. You're in no state, no shape to go and rebel. I'm not with you, as we know. You're not. The reason the Babylonians have come is because I want them to come. It's time for your gullus. So you're all standing there. And Yirmiyahu comes in with this massive yoke. Massive yoke. Often VM used items to bring home their message. He's wearing this yoke and he struggles into the court of Tzidkiyahu. And he says this message. You're going to be subservient under the yoke of Babel. Hananya, who's a Navi, that's the Pasuk says again, never says Navi Shed, says to him, what are you talking about, Yirmiyahu? What are you talking about? Come on. We're going to gather together and we're going to rebel. The Gula is coming. This whole thing with the Babylonians, it's not going to last very long. And Yirmiyahu says, no, it's going to happen. Turn to chapter 28 on page 8. We'll read the back and forth. Sorry, on page 9. So Hananya says, Ko Amar Hashem, you see page 9, right column? We have it? Ko Amar Hashem, Tzivos, like Yisrael, Lemar, Shvartiges, O Melech Babel. I'll break the yoke of the Babylonians. Ba'od Shnatayim Yomim Ani Meshiv Kol HaMokom Hazeh Et Kol Kli Beis Hashem Asher Lokach Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel Min HaMokom Hazeh Vayavos Babel. I'll restore the vessel to Beis HaMikdash, i.e. it's all going to be over, don't worry, says Hananya. And I'll bring back Yechonia, who was sent out to Golis. It's all going to be good. And what did Yirmiyahu say? V'yomer Yirmiyahu, Anavi Al-Hananya, Anavi Leinei Kohanim, in front of everyone, Yirmiyahu says, V'veis Hashem, he says, sorry, just find it. Next pasuk, Amen. Amen. It should be. Meaning, Halavai. Halavai, that was true. I wish that was true. I don't want to see this happen with Jewish people. But just listen to me, he says. Listen to me, it's not going to happen. And how do I know it's not going to happen? How do you know that Hanani is a false prophet? Hanani wasn't coming and saying, serve the Baal. He wasn't coming and saying, you know, Torah mitzvah doesn't apply. He was coming and saying, it's all going to be good. Don't worry, we're good. And Yirmiyahu says he's a false prophet. And how do I know he's a false prophet? And Yirmiyahu innovates something here and says the following. What makes someone a prophet? Not someone who comes and says, it's all going to be rosy. It's all going to be good. A prophet's role is to be in confrontation with the people, in conflict with the people, to tell the people where you are now is not where you should be. And a sign that someone's a false prophet is not just, like it says in Devarim, someone who says, go against the word of the Torah, God, add a new mitzvos, add a new averos, but someone who comes and says, you can be complacent. That is a sign they're a false prophet with everything that comes with a false prophet, as it says in Devarim, meaning Misa, death by Bezdin. He says, the prophets who lived before you, Hanavim, the left column, second verse, Hagilafanai, Lefanechem, and Olam, Vagnivuel, Arches, Rabbas, Va'alam, Memlechas, Gedolas, Lunachamal, Raladavar. They always said, they prophesied from ancient times, there's going to be war, there's going to be disaster, to Tshuva. Hanavi, Ashaginavay, Leshomim, Bavoidavar, Hanavi, Yivad, Hanavi, Sheshalach, Hashem, Emes. This is what he says, and Hananiah doesn't listen. He gets up, takes the yoke from off Yirmiyahu's shoulder, snaps it in half, and says, no, 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 it's all going to be good. Page number 10, after the prophet Hananiah broke the bar from the neck of Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu says, it's not going to happen like that. And in a year from now, you're going to die. And that's the confrontation, and that's the third reason that people didn't listen to Yirmiyahu. There was the theological, God won't do this. There was this idea of that people said to themselves, you know, interpreting God's events, God, we're the chosen people, we're still here. And this idea from Hananiah, like almost political, like we can rebel, we can go against the Babylonians. They're there, it's natural course of events, and the people are good. Yirmiyahu, you're wrong. Yirmiyahu responds, and we know Yirmiyahu is correct because we're all standing here right now reading Yirmiyahu and not Hananiah. To be a prophet means to be in conflict with the people. And I think that sums up who Yirmiyahu was. Multiple times throughout the book of Yirmiyahu, he's put into jail, sentenced to death, told, you know, chased after. It comes to the point, he turns to God and he says, God, I don't want to do this anymore. Take my life. Which is something, by the way, you find with many Nevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm done. Eliyahu said, I'm done. Being a Navi wasn't simple, because being a Navi means being in conflict with your people. Being that lone voice of dissent against the masses to say, religious life is not about minimal aspirations. It's about aspiring for greatness. It's about asking yourself constantly, is who I am and what I'm doing where I should be? Am I who I want to be? And therefore, the lesson, I think, of Yirmiyahu is, again, as I said, I gave the ending earlier, that it all turns out, you know, he gives good nevuah, but the lesson of Yirmiyahu is to constantly be asking ourselves, about ourselves and about the Jewish people, are we just building houses of sticks and stones, or are we building a house for Hashem? Thank you very much.